Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Ran Carthon, Titans general manager, will join us in 1 hour. We will get all of his thoughts on the Titans draft weekend. Willie D, D-Mace, how we doing? Happy Monday.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Happy Monday.
It has been beautiful weather. I feel like I'm in New Hampshire or something. Like 60 degrees, getting cool at night. Enjoy it while it lasts. But man, it's been fun to be out and about. Great time of the year. And the draft is over.
All the Willie Donicks of the world
can
rejoice.
The hay is in the barn. The hay is in the barn.
So now we will talk about
now
the draft
discuss, yes.
For the next 3 months.
We got to bring the hay back out in about 8, 9 more months, 10 more months.
Top prospects for 2024, yes. Tomorrow on the show.
I did hear a caller, I believe it was maybe on Chase and Michelle, talking about what the Titans should do in the 2024 draft. I said, all right, hold the phone,
okay,
brother. Let's maybe recap this, get back to that conversation, and maybe in January.
Yeah.
Well, let's take
Although,
some time.
That caller, maybe can find somebody who's probably done a mock draft for next year's first
Oh, of course.
Oh, I'm
sure
it's happened. The way
Absolutely.
Too early
I'm
mock drafts.
I'm surprised you hadn't did your mock draft for next year, Willie.
I can tell you that I've not.
I did go back to some of the way too early mock drafts that came out right after draft day 2022, and there were several top five, top 10 projections that were like third, fourth, fifth round picks. So
unbelievable.
A so lot of things can early. Change. But the Tennessee Titans step away from the NFL draft, taking Peter Skoronski in the first round. And the shocker of the weekend, Will Levis, first of all, falling to the second round, which is not something that any of us expected, not something that the gurus expected, not something that Vegas expected. But the Tennessee Titans trade up to the 33rd overall pick and take Will Levis. Initial reactions.
Well, from a drama standpoint, just take it from 10,000 feet. Like, forget about what we do here, and that's just look fully only through the lens of what are the Titans doing. Like, we don't care what's going on anywhere else. But just if you're looking from afar and you notice what the four teams in the division have done in the last couple of years at quarterback, it's going to be really interesting to see the next few years, just to see who made the best call. Like, who – and, like – the guys said, Vrabel and Carthon at the press conference, a lot of it's going to be up to Will Levis, right? A lot of it's going to be up to C.J. Stroud. It's going to be up to Anthony Richardson. How do they develop themselves? How do they work at it? You and Chris Sanders, Derek, I thought had a really interesting back and forth on your draft coverage that you guys did when you were just talking about, you know, the makeup. You know, do you dedicate yourself to the craft? It was involving Hendon Hooker, too, you know, and what we all see. We don't know any of these guys, right? We're just looking and reading. We've learned some things about how they conduct themselves. We read up on these things. But at the end of the day, nothing matters now except for how do they handle themselves going forward. But we're wondering who dedicates themselves to the job, right? Who dives in and decides, I'm going to put in the work, right? I've got tools. I've got things that are really good. I've got flaws. All of them probably have these, right? But who can work on their weaknesses, and who can bring out their strengths? Who has the developmental side? There's so many X factors that haven't even started until now. But it's going to be a great thing to watch the next 3 or 4 years. That's why we love following sports, to see how this works out.
Well, we're not going to be able to grade this draft for a few years now. And obviously, we don't know what the actual plan is for Will Levis. Yes. You know, what Rand Carthon said, yes, it's up to Will Levis, but then it's up to you as an organization to develop your quarterback, plain and simple, to help, you know, speed along his process at learning this game at this level. You can't just say, oh, it's all on a player. If he don't do it, then so be it. No, that's why you have jobs. That's why you get paid six figures, to take these guys that have a skill set, that have talent, and to bring that talent out of them. So that's what they're going to have to do with Will Levis, regardless of how we may feel about this, about this whole draft class, or how we may feel about Will Levis. it's up to this Tennessee Titan coaching staff, and I believe that's why they probably made some of the changes that they made, because they wanted to develop the players that they're bringing in with their new GM. So it's going to be a delight to watch this team as they usher into a new era. That's what it is. And I know we will still lean heavy on the old guards, Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard, the guys that have been here for a while. I know we're going to consistently lean on them this year, but this team, by drafting a quarterback, even in the second round, as high as they did, moving up to get him, they are telling us, hey, listen, we are moving in another direction. We are ushering in this youth of talent that we had. It started with re-signing Jeffrey Simmons, and we saw it even more with them drafting their quarterback in the second round. This is their quarterback of the future. Whether he gets developed or he becomes that or not, that's up to the organization. But this is the quarterback of the future.
He's going to have a shot.
Yeah, you don't draft a quarterback in the second round, trade up and get him, and don't think that this is our guy moving forward.
Well, he's definitely going to get the shot. There's no question. Now, another stat that I think is interesting, because I already saw some people wondering, okay, now what do you do with Tannehill? Here's a stat that caught my attention. I was listening to the MMQB podcast. They were going back through the first round. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting. They had some interesting thoughts on was it smart for the Texans to use, they called it the war chest of picks that they had, to use them immediately to get Will Anderson, knowing that you're still building there, right? They're all of a sudden, they're not going to be predicted to win big in the AFC this year, like regardless of whether they made that trade or not.
They're a couple years away.
So that's going to be something to follow too. Is what was that a smart move, mm-hmm. to do what they did to get Will Anderson and CJ Stroud, right? They made the decision. We want both of those guys, and we want them now, mm-hmm. instead of waiting to see what was going on next year, any of that stuff. So every team's got these questions, mm-hmm. that we won't answer for 2-3 years, like you said. But rookie quarterbacks, since 1990, this is the stat, there are only 13 teams that have started a rookie quarterback and won 9 or more games. So, I mean, that's not even setting the bar very high. 9 or more is a winning record, right? Mm-hmm. So, usually when you start a rookie quarterback, we're talking about 33 years here, you're not going to win, mm-hmm. when you start the rookie. There's going to be some growing pains. So that's the interesting position that the Titans are in as we sit here today, that you don't have to start the rookie right now. You can let him work his way up and naturally find his way, or not find his way, at least to the opportunity, mm-hmm. to start. But so they have a year to work with here. Mm-hmm. But I've already seen some people saying, okay, now that you have Levis,
right,
could you get some more picks by wheeling Tannehill at some point? Like, I wonder if it's even during the season. Let's say you're 3-4 and the trade deadline's coming up. Somebody has an injured quarterback who has a chance to win. I think you would be in the catbird seat for 2 or 3 teams that might be looking for a quarterback at the trade deadline, knowing the position you're in, if you don't feel like you can win next year. But you have options here, having Tannehill and Levis. You can wait on Levis. Mm-hmm. You still have Tannehill. I just like the position they're in there, knowing that you don't have to throw the guy into the fire, because we've seen some guys crash and burn who do that.
Well, I mean, if you know, it's the phrase, it's up to Willis, is up to, not Willis, Levis, it's up to Levis.
It may be up to Willis, too.
Yeah,
what's he going to do?
Willis, too, but it's up
Will
to Levis.
Will Willis.
That tells me this, that, and I think I said this to you, Caroline, Friday, you and Chris. I said, listen, don't just think that by them drafting him in a second round that he's automatically going to sit. If I believe, that's why, you know, Rand saying, well, it's up to Levis, mm-hmm. you know. That means if he shows that he's progressing faster than what the coaches are thinking, he's their starter. Why? Because I like the stat that you put out. And two names, well, really one name come to mind that shows me it can work, and shows me that it can work here, mm-hmm. with the Tennessee Titans. I was about to say, but I'll tell you later. But this is the reason why it'll work, I believe. It can work if Will Levis does take it upon himself And nothing saying that he won't.
Right.
Take it upon himself to take it serious. Be a guy that, what can I do for this league? What can I do for this team? Rather than, what can a league do for me or what can a team do for me? The Titans already told you they didn't draft a receiver until when? The seventh round.
Seventh round.
Do they got many receivers on their roster? Not really. And I'm not saying, and these are the questions that I'm going to ask Rand Carthon when he's on today at 12.
All fair questions. Noon.
Yeah. We assume they may go out and get a wide receiver in free agency. We got to assume that. But they're telling you right now that if this young man shows any promise, we're going to do what one of those teams on that list did. Ben Roethlisberger. He had to start as a rookie. But what did they do? Turn the ball and hand it off. Build up your offensive line and play great defense. Ben Roethlisberger didn't have to throw a ball a lot. And they went to the playoffs. I can almost envision that happening here because of the moves they haven't made. Let's just say that. Haven't made yet. Let's say that. You don't go out and you draft a wide receiver because that's a place of need. You go get another running back, which you did sort of need a third down back because you let Dontrell Hilliard sign with someone else. You got Derrick Henry, who's still a 1,400-yard rusher. You're building up this offensive line. That tells me that this team, if Will Levis shows any promise, he's their starter, and they feel they can win because the way they can win this way with Ryan Tannehill, and they can win this way with Will Levis. Probably not Malik Willis, because he's shown already we can't do it with him. But if Levis shows any promise, this is the way they're going to do it, and they're not going to hesitate if they have to throw Will Levis in there.
Well, let's get into that coming up next. What the drafting of Will Levis means for the future of Ryan Tannehill, what that means for the quarterback position in 2023, and also what that means for the job security for somebody else in the Titans organization. We'll get into all of that coming up next, plus your thoughts as well. The Titans trade up in the second round to take quarterback Will Levis. Your thoughts on the pick. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
Mike, you've talked about the efficiency of the passing game in his career. He's not always been the most accurate guy, and he doesn't always seem to have made the best decisions. How does that translate here into the coaching that you need to do and into the efficient play that you're looking for?
Well, when you look at completion percentage, 65%, 2 years in the SEC, what we felt like was over 30 drops that probably would have led to, you know, closer to 70% completion. Every player that we bring in here is going to have a chance to improve, and will have to improve. And again, the decision making, toughness, accuracy are obviously things that we feel are critical with quarterbacks, and we think that the three that we have here are going to be able to do that.
That was Vrabel on the quarterback situation going into this season. The Tennessee Titans trade up the 33rd overall pick in the second round, take Kentucky quarterback Will Levis. And look, I don't dislike the pick. I don't dislike the Titans taking Will Levis. I know that there are a whole bunch of Titans fans on Twitter that were making their disdain for the pick very well known. I think that I do see the allure of Will Levis. I see the size, the makeup, the arm, the toughness, what we've seen at Kentucky. Those are all, he has makeup of being a successful pro quarterback. But the concerns about the accuracy and the interceptions, the turnovers, those are all very fair questions that I have about Will Levis as well. So while I don't hate the pick at all, I do think that Will Levis has some ways to go before he is a legitimate starting quarterback in this league that the Titans can depend on to get them back in the mix of being competitive with the Burrows and the Allens and the Mahomes, so on and so forth. I don't think he's going to be Patrick Mahomes, but can he at least, you know, steer your ship in order to be competitive against those top quarterbacks? That's what I think the Titans are going to ask of Will Levis. Can you take care of the football? Can you make good decisions to win us games? The matter, the question is now, when is that going to be?
I think it's an interesting narrative that comes out because of what happened to Will Levis. He was the number one story from, again, 10,000 feet or whatever, you know, way up above, right? Not in our forest, but in the league, what were the big stories coming out of the draft in round one? Among the top ones, Will Levis didn't get picked.
Correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. And couple that with the whole speculation of a desire to try to get C.J. Stroud from the Titans, which we think is probably true, that they probably took a swing. They were going to take a swing to see if they could find a way to get Stroud. So you have those two things going on. And so when they take the podium on Saturday night, it's 10:15 at night. Those two guys, Fran Carthon and Mike Vrabel, have been through the ringer, yeah. Right? They probably haven't slept a whole lot. They know that they're probably going to stay up most of the night preparing for the last day of the draft, which is going to be very important, right? So they're wrung out, man. I mean, they're fried. And there's this perception that, oh, man, you had to settle for Will Levis. It's almost, you know, it's really interesting, whereas if you'd have told me before the draft, if you had put that out there, you had this omniscient info, right? Hey, guys, they're going to get Will Levis in the second round. I think there would have been a lot of excitement, right? A secret excitement if it was 4 or 5 days before and you didn't know that Will Levis was going to fall and there's going to have all the flaws of Will Levis. Oh, man, see, I told you he's not that good. He's a second rounder. I had him in the fourth round. I didn't have him on my board. You know, there's always that, right? So I guess my point is there are flaws in all of these guys. The height on Bryce Young. Right, the C.J. Stroud, the S2, and all of that stuff.
Accuracy, you know, interceptions for Levis.
Anthony Richardson, he's young, he's raw, he's got to do a lot of things to get better. You can shoot holes in all of these guys, and history will tell you that of these four quarterbacks, and let's throw Hendon Hooker in as a fifth, most of probably if there's five, three are likely not to be star quarterbacks in the league. At least three,
yeah.
Right? So you're just taking a shot. And so I'm really glad that they took a guy with flaws but has some tools, and they got him in the second round and not in the first round. Like, how would you feel about Will Levis? He was your first-round pick, right? I think we have to look at it a little different there.
I hear what you're saying, mm-hmm. but because I do hear what you're saying.
Because the narrative of the Stroud thing, like, oh, they were so close to getting Stroud, and you had to get Levis.
You know, but
before the draft, you had people saying that Will Levis will be the second pick, right?
It does a lot of feel people. A bit. A lot of people.
There
yes.
were mock drafts. You will find Will Levis pick number two to Houston.
And
right?
Jim Irsay came out and said if Anthony Richardson was not available, they would have taken Will Levis at four. So, I mean, think about how crazy of a difference that is. Will Levis could have gone at four and ended up going 33. So, Will Levis was one of the top graded quarterbacks in this year's class. I can't help but feel like it does feel like a little bit of a consolation prize.
But well, how do we know that? But that's my
because
point.
The Titans
is
wanted
in 3 years. That will be the question, right? Because we have no idea.
Well, I guess the idea is this. If, you know, the speculation of, you know, the Titans were ready to move up to the third spot to draft C.J. Stroud, and then because of whatever reason, you know, they rescind their offer. That's out there. Now, whether it's true or not, can't wait to have Rand on so we can ask him. But if indeed that was your guy, C.J. Stroud, and for whatever reason, you know, you were not able to draft him, I'm with you, Caroline, because they could have came back and drafted him at 11.
Right.
The Titans could have drafted him at 11, but they didn't. Why? Because I don't think they had a first-round grade on him. But they end up getting a second. They end up getting him in the second round. They moved up to get him. Yes, it's sort of like a consolation prize, but it's a good one. But it is.
It could end up being the most brilliant thing that ever happened.
It could.
And he made.
But he was their second.
Right.
He still probably, he was their third choice, really.
Yes.
Because they ended up drafting Skoronski and then came back and drafted him.
Okay. And there are always going to be 4 or 5 years after a draft, whenever mm-hmm. he goes back and looks at that draft, like Jalen Hurts. Oh, my gosh. You know. Everybody missed on Jalen Hurts. He went all the way into the second round. So my point is nobody knows how this is going to play out. It could end up being a great thing. But I think some of the things that are contributing, A, this is SEC country. A lot of fans around here saw him not play well against Tennessee, saw him not play well against Vanderbilt, and say, what's the big deal? This guy didn't look very good. even though there was a lot of buzz, Mel Kiper boasting him as the best quarterback of the draft. So it's all over the board, the speculation, the future. We don't know the future.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I think is interesting, too, that contributes to this, there was so much reaction to the press conference on Saturday night. Again, 10:15 at night. The guys are fried. The Ran and Mike Vrabel are fried. They're staying up on. They didn't seem that excited about the pick. But I think it was more about the fatigue, the mental fatigue. But it did kind of come across. They weren't like, gosh, we can't even believe he was on the board at the second round. We were thrilled to grab him. You know, but there's those, well, you could have had him at 11. Why didn't you want him at 11? You must not be that excited about him. And I think, you know, their energy level was low. So I think that kind of conveys the narrative. But, again, let's fast forward a year and 2 years. Nobody's going to worry about any of that stuff if he turns out to be a good player. And I would say that based on all the pre-draft evaluation, he could be just as good or bad as any of the four quarterbacks picked. Heck, none of them might be any good.
We don't know. He could. I mean, Will Levis, if we look back 5 years from now and Will Levis has a Super Bowl ring and was the Super Bowl MVP and C.J. Stroud is now bouncing around to different practice squads and not a very good quarterback in the league, we'll look back on that and say, wow, that was the best thing that could have happened to the Titans that we didn't realize at the time. But we won't know that. Mm-hmm. It's up to the Titans in their development of Will Levis. It's up to Will Levis and prioritizing his development and putting the work in to ultimately be that quarterback that does get the Titans to the Super Bowl, that wins them the Super Bowl. But we won't know that. But the only information that we have is we know that the Titans wanted C.J. Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
Per that Diana Russini report on Twitter that she then deleted, that the Titans were heavy into getting in that third spot. They were, you know, negotiating heavy with the Arizona Cardinals. They pulled their offer once C.J. Stroud was off the board. They didn't take Will Levis at 11. All the things that we do know, it makes it feel like, well, if you really do see him as your quarterback of the future, then why did you wait until 33?
Well,
but it worked, though.
It may work. We don't know. Even if it works because they get them but then don't work because it doesn't produce on the field, then it's like, okay, was it even worth it? I think by not drafting him in the first round, I think it does work out for the Titans from this standpoint. After 3 years, which will go bad pretty fast, if he hasn't shown, they can get rid of him. If you draft him in the first round, you got to give him a little bit more time. Whereas I draft him in the second round, if he isn't showing that he's our quarterback, it may be easier
to move on.
Not necessarily for the fans to move on, but it'll be easier for the organization to move on. Cause they're like, it wasn't a first round. I know it was a second round, even though I think second rounders, they're starters too. I believe
Jalen
they
Hurts
are.
Was a second rounder.
I believe they are brought in to be starters right away as well, because sometimes teams just don't have a lot of picks in the draft. So when you draft a guy in the second round, when you only have five or six out of seven picks, mm-hmm. when you only have six out of seven picks, you don't have a fourth round pick. That second rounder needs to be a starter for you, and a lot of times need to be a starter for you right away.
You hope that's for sure. But again, I'm looking more big picture. I'm not looking at a team that is desperate to win this year. That's how I look at it anyway. If I'm Rand Carthon, I want to build the roster. You used to say the bottom half of the roster. I'm saying almost like the middle portion. Like, you need depth. You mm-hmm. need pieces. They didn't have enough picks to address all of the needs, which is, I think, contributing to the big wide receiver question that everybody has. They just didn't have enough picks to get everything that they needed. They've got a lot of holes. They need players. But I do think that in the second round getting Levis, the other thing to remember is they got Skoronski. That's a guy, you know, they couldn't have. I didn't think they'd be able to get Levis and Skoronski. Show me a mock draft where they get both of those guys. So they have an essential piece, a guy that you hope will be a plug and play in a big hole in the offensive line.
He needs to be a plug and play, right?
You need to be a starter day one at guard or tackle, whatever it is.
But we'd be saying that about Levis if he was the pick at 11. But now you've got a little leeway, and he's the second round pick. Like you were saying, there's mm-hmm. not as much pressure to have it. Oh, he's got to hit we use the second round pick. It's, you know, it's not the same pressure as being the first round pick, like you said, I think.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know. With the nature of the position, of the quarterback position, it makes it a little bit different. Let's say the Titans took a wide receiver with the 33rd overall pick, or they stayed at 41, got a receiver. I think we would look at that differently than we would with Will Levis, just given the fact that he is a quarterback and given the fact that the quarterback position was a question mark before Friday night, and now it's Will Levis.
But most quarterbacks miss, right? But you have to take a chance somewhere along the line and hope that you get the right guy, right? But you have to know going in. And really, this would be the case for any position, but quarterbacks are probably the hardest to find. So I think you got to be willing to miss, just like I think they're kind of saying with Malik Willis, we got to hedge our bets here. We can't put everything on Malik Willis being the guy. We've seen enough to know, I don't know. So let's try Will Levis. In a couple years, they might say, well, he's not the guy. Let's take another swing, or let's see if we can find a quarterback somewhere else. But that most guys, even guys picked in the first round, miss, right? The Trubiskys, we can go on down the line. There's Blaine Gabbert. There are a gazillion
quarterbacks, first round, second round, third round, you know, whenever. But yeah, a lot of first round quarterbacks that have busted and have not worked out.
Yeah, more than 50%.
Yes, probably so. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but probably so. But coming up next, how important is it for Will Levis to work out? Whose job depends on Will Levis working out? We'll get into that coming up next. Plus your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Obviously, Brian's been through this a lot, you know, in his career. He knows the lay of the land. What kind of message and what kind of, how do you want the league to approach the fact that another quarterback's been brought into the league?
That's our job, is to bring in competition at every position. That's not it's not a secret. I hope that by now that everybody understands that we have to prove our value to this football team each and every day. And I've said that to every player on our football team, to every coach, and that's what our goal is. And they're going to come in and compete, and the players ultimately will determine their role.
There goes Mike Vrabel on draft night. You can join 1025 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities to support a great cause and have loads of fun doing it. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. So sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. So the Titans trade up in the second round to select quarterback Will Levis. And I do think that at least eliminates the biggest question surrounding this organization before Friday was, who is the future of this organization? Who will be the quarterback beyond 2023? And I do think that drafting Will Levis brings in a lot of questions about the future of two individuals within the Titans organization. One of them being Ryan Tannehill. I think that's obvious. What does Will Levis and the drafting of Will Levis mean for Ryan Tannehill's future? And I think the second one is Mike Vrabel. And how much does Mike Vrabel's job in his future with the Tennessee Titans depend on the success of Will Levis? How much is his job riding on Will Levis's development and his future as the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans?
Well, I mean, it's just like any other, quarterback per se. And Rand Carthon said it at his press conference. It is, when he first got hired on his job at his press conference, what did he say? Listen, not having that quarterback can get you fired. Plain and simple. And we all know that. If you don't have that quarterback and you start consistently losing, that costs you your job. If you reach for a quarterback and they don't work, it costs you your job. If you draft that quarterback in the first round and it doesn't work, that may cost you your job. So anything that surrounds the quarterback may cost not only you, but everyone on that coaching staff's job. And that's just the way it is. And the Titans are in this position that I think it's, even though, Willie, we look at it as just a second round, and I do believe the second round, you know, the expectation is you need to be a starter, you know, as quickly as possible. But I do agree with Caroline in this sense. Like, listen, because of the circumstances of the Tennessee Titans, they got a quarterback that's on the last year of his deal. There is two voidable. It's avoidable years there, but basically he's on the last year of his contract.
Last year of his deal, he's 35
exactly.
years old.
If this doesn't work, it does, regardless if he was a if he is a second round pick, if this doesn't work, somebody is going to be somebody's going to have to you know, basically answer to this, because essentially what you did is you're drafting your future quarterback because your quarterback at hand is gone next year. They hadn't redid the deal, nothing. He is playing on his last. He will not be a Tennessee Titan next year. He may be on some other. I'm not saying his career is ending, but he may have to go to another team. But he will not be a Tennessee Titan next year. So with that being said.
24.
Yeah, 24. Yeah. Not this upcoming season, 23, but 24. With that being said, Will Levis has to work because you have no other plan. What other plan do you have? You basically said, listen, this is basically our first rounder. He's our quarterback. He needs to be starting by next season. Not this upcoming season, but it'd be great if he can. But he needs to be starting by next season. He needs to prove to us that he can play so we can insert him. If he can't, what do we have to do? Start all over again.
While the other teams in your division exactly. have found their quarterback.
And if their quarterbacks are getting better and you're like, it will cost somebody their job. Hopefully it won't.
Well, the same thing you would say about C.J. Stroud. What if he crashes and burns?
But we don't care about C.J. Stroud.
Yes, you do. He plays in your division. That has something to do. But I'm saying you can ask this question about any team. If you miss on the quarterback, it sets you back. And that could happen in Houston. That could happen in Indianapolis. That has been happening in Indianapolis. Uh-huh. They've been missing.
Well, no. They haven't missed on the guys they drafted. They've only missed on the guys that they brought in, older quarterbacks that they brought in.
Right.
They
had still set them back.
Yeah, which set them back, but it's not setting them back to a point where you draft a guy in the first round and you put all your eggs in that one basket.
Let me try it this way. You could have asked that same question. Like, I think in general, you have to have good quarterback play, or eventually, you're probably not going to win very much.
Especially in this AFC.
Yeah.
Well, not in anytime soon. Again, that's also how much patience are you going to have as they try to maneuver through a very stacked AFC. But let's go back to 2018, when Mike Vrabel got the job. Could you not have said this exact statement and this: take out Will Levis and put in Marcus Mariota? If Marcus Mariota crashes and burns, can Mike Vrabel be successful?
That wasn't Mike Vrabel's guy, though. He didn't draft him.
You don't think he was brought in to bring out the best in Marcus Mariota?
No, he wasn't. No. This team, he was brought in. Well, actually, he was just brought in to build on what Mike Mularkey had started. They went to the playoffs with Mike
Marcus Mariota.
Yes, but he wasn't the guy that Mike Vrabel went in there and scouted and agreed with everybody. Marcus Mariota is our guy. They purposely went out and got Ryan Tannehill because they knew Marcus wasn't the guy.
But that was a full year later, is my point. You don't know what the future holds. Like, if you were sitting there going, okay, Mike Vrabel is going to succeed as the coach of the Titans the day he takes over, I think most of us would have said, well, that's going to mean that he takes Marcus Mariota to another level, one way or the other. But nobody could have predicted the trade for Ryan Tannehill and the path of Ryan Tannehill's career. Nobody saw that coming.
I don't think anybody. I never thought a
way to be successful.
I never thought bringing Mike Vrabel to this team would enhance Marcus. Mike Vrabel has no experience, to my knowledge, with developing quarterbacks. So I never thought that Mike was going to come in here and make Marcus a better player. I've always said this about Marcus. If you ask him to throw it outside, you better forget it.
Right, because would you say that he has to develop Will Levis? He's not the guy doing developing.
No. Because
you're putting people around you that develop him.
Because this
the same
is
true with Marcus Mariota.
Because this is
brought in Matt LaFleur.
This is his guy. If Ryan Tannehill had not worked out, He might not be here today, meaning Mike Vrabel. Because why? They pointed to Ryan Tannehill. This is the guy that we believe that can win us a lot of games. So they went out and they made the trade for him. And it has come true. But he was
an insurance policy.
He was brought in here as a backup. Not to be the backup. You don't bring somebody like that and trade what you do and take on that salary and say you're going to be the backup. No, in their minds, Ryan Tannehill was going to be the starter eventually.
That's revisionist history. We did not know that at the time.
I'm telling you, you don't make a trade like that with a quarterback like that and take on his salary and don't think, oh, he's just going to be our backup.
You're making my point though. At the time that Mike Vrabel was hired, you're a year away from trading for Tannehill, but he found a pathway to get good quarterback play. So that's why I'm disagreeing with your question that Will Levis has to succeed for Vrabel to succeed. There is more than one way to get a quarterback or good quarterback play.
I could look at it like this. If you would have asked, I would have said that Kyle Shanahan's job security depended on the success of Trey Lance. Now we see that Trey Lance may not be the guy in San Francisco. It may be Brock Purdy. Mm-hmm. But there at least is another guy that they view as the starter and the leader of that organization. It's not Trey Lance. It's not the guy that they invested all those picks in. It's Brock Purdy. But they have a quarterback nonetheless.
Who was there? But who drafted him?
Kyle Shanahan did.
Exactly.
But
trading
up to the number 3 overall pick for a guy versus taking the guy the last pick in the draft, totally different circumstances.
Or taking a guy in the second round.
No, because I can shake it out like this. If I'm Kyle Shanahan, I can shake it out like this. Well, yeah, we did get all of that. We did do all of that to go up and get Trey Lance. I get it. But I also, with the help of Rand Carthon, shout out to Rand, I also found me a quarterback in the 7th round. That is now leading our team to the playoffs.
They found a quarterback either way.
Okay, you can forgive me for that one, Kent. Oh, yeah. Oh, we'll forgive you. Don't worry about it. We got Brock Purdy.
They found their quarterback regardless. Mm-hmm. But I would say that the 49ers organization and what they did, their quarterback situation, is the exception and not the rule. Usually, if you find that quarterback in the first, or in this instance, second round, the guy that is viewed to be the heir apparent and the future quarterback of your franchise, I think that's what we can call Will Levis right now, seeing as though there is no other option, that Will Levis is the future of this Tennessee Titans organization. Knowing what we know, that Will Levis is really the only option, the only cow that you've got in the barn, that Mike Vrabel's job security does depend on the success of Will Levis. Maybe they do find some quarterback that they trade a 4th-round pick for, and that's your starter for the next 4 to 5 years, like they did find in Ryan Tannehill. But right now, the only option that they have for the quarterback of the future is Will Levis. And if he doesn't work out and you don't have another option, then I think that is Mike Vrabel's job, because now he's been elevated to a higher role. John Robinson took the fall for the disaster that was last year. Now there's nobody in front of Mike Vrabel to point the finger to. Mike Vrabel is the guy now. But let's get back into the conversation coming up next. And we're right to your phones as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, Rand Carthon will join us in 8 minutes. We will ask him questions about the draft, about Will Levis, what went down in the first round for the Tennessee Titans. Rand Carthon, Tennessee Titans general manager, will join us in 8 minutes. Breaking down Vrabel's job security, how much does his future with the Tennessee Titans depend on the success of Will Levis? We'll get your thoughts on that. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike is on the line. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I wanted to point something out too. So I'm a big Ohio State fan, and I do like C.J. Stroud, but that team was loaded. And I remember watching that Georgia game, and I said, I didn't say C.J. Stroud needs to have a big game. I said, we need Harrison to have a huge game in order for us to win. And when he went out, we lost. And I was like, that's it. And so they had a good run game. I'm going to tell you this, like, if you were to reverse it and put Will Levis in there with that talent that Ohio State had, they would have probably been just as successful. And I don't know if you could say that about B.J. Stroud going to Kentucky, where it looked like Will Levis was literally carrying that team at times, running it, throwing it, putting it on, like, putting the team on his back. He was in a way harder situation. So I think people that are, you know, giving Will Levis a hard time. I mean, dude, he was on a team where he had to carry those guys. But
thanks for your call, Mike. D-Maze is shaking his head.
Well, I see D-Maze shaking his head, but I'm going to say this. It's an age-old question. He's not the first guy to bring up this question. I know this drives you crazy, D-Mace, but let me tell you this. I'll go back to 2005 or 2006. 2006. Vince Young, Matt Leinart, Jay Cutler.
Mm-hmm.
That year is the only year I can remember we discussed quarterbacks like we discussed this year. So the same thing. I could show you some horrendous games that Jay Cutler played at Vanderbilt where they were overmatched. They got destroyed. He was flinging the ball all over the place. He had no pass protection. He didn't have great receivers. He was taking chances. He looked awful. Matt Leinart would be the C.J. Stroud. Loaded team. Reggie Bush, Lendale White, all around. Superstar receivers everywhere on the field. Vince Young in the same draft. Titans took him.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Cutler had the best career of those three. Didn't win Super Bowls or anything, but he stayed in the league a long, long time and was a pretty solid quarterback. All I'm saying is I do think that that has something to do with how you look on a college field. And that's what a lot of our people that just do shows like this or fans, that's their frame of reference. They watch the guys on the field. So I do think that is a factor. But the scouts have to factor that in.
I mean, okay. If that's what y'all want to say, I guess no matter what
I say. So you think C.J. Stroud is way better than Will Levis? End of story.
Yep. Okay. End of story.
Time will tell.
Here's the deal. We can say this about any quarterback. Hell, look at Trevor Lawrence. Name out the guys that Trevor Lawrence was throwing to.
Hunter Renfro, T. Higgins.
Sure.
He had a plethora of just
ETN.
4-5-star guys.
Absolutely.
ETN.
Joe Burrow had two back-to-back offensive rookies of the year.
Joe Burrow had three stud receivers. Three of them in a tight end that could play, in an offensive line that could block, and a running back that could run.
Of course.
Why
did A.J. McCarron?
Why didn't we say all of this? Why is it now, all of a sudden, it's a problem with when C.J. Stroud has it, but when these other quarterbacks have it, it's like, it was the quarterbacks. Listen, we saw firsthand how Tennessee's offense looked with Hendon Hooker and how it looked with Mixon. We saw it. Did it look the same? I'm going to answer that for y'all. Hell no, it didn't look the same. Not one bit. So, and I love our callers, but you can't sit here and tell me that you put Will Levis on or you take C.J. Stroud and put him on Kentucky and Kentucky's just a okay to below okay team. No, this is a talent. C.J. Stroud is a talent. He went to Ohio State. Ohio State recruits quarterbacks like Alabama recruits them. They always got somebody. Hell, Justin Fields left because he wasn't going to be able to play in one place. When I was George, he left Georgia and came to Ohio State.
Yeah.
My fault. But, hell, Joe Burrow left Ohio State because he wasn't going to play.
Will Levis left Penn State.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is this. We act as if, you know, these other teams don't have all-star players, but we don't point at them and say, well, they had this guy, this guy, this guy. C.J. Stroud won that quarterback position, and for the last 2 years, he has been nothing but excellent. Yes, he had two bad games, and both of them were against Michigan and in Penn State, so I say three. But if you look at him, if you probably put any other quarterback in that position, and they've had some really good quarterbacks, but nothing has looked like this. They had Justin Fields. Justin Fields didn't look like this. They've had, hell, Troy Smith, who won the Heisman Trophy. He didn't look like this, and I love Troy. I played with him in Baltimore, but there's something different about this kid.
You might be totally right.
I don't care who he had. Hell, they had all those. I couldn't throw to those receivers. If that's the case, or better yet, if that's the case, I can play quarterback at Ohio State. If everybody's saying, well, it's because of the quarterback, I mean, it's because of the wide receivers and who he had behind him in the offensive line, well, hell, I should be a Heisman runner-up then, at the least.
Rand Carthon coming up next. We will ask him all of these questions, all the questions that we have had and the questions that you have about the Tennessee Titans draft. Tennessee Titans general manager Rand Carthon will join us coming up next. Caroline, really? 102.5, 106.3, The Game.